on the look there. The children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns jammed downtown. The killing clowns, the blood money men. The shooting goes. Washington bullets again.
Fox News is giving the most unbiased view of what's going on. It wasn't a massacre. They're showing you that tens were killed, not hundreds were killed. So it's an interesting propaganda that's coming out from the Palestinians about what's actually happening there. Let me just say that on one of the end of
you're listening to the voice of Ms. Donna De La Paz speaking on the Jewish Voices program, a one-time program broadcast on KPFT Houston in April of 2002.
And one other thing I heard this morning as I was driving in, they said on this radio station the Israelis were using the drivers of the ambulances as shields.
This show was organized and produced by Stan Merriman.
That is completely false and incorrect.
And Greg Gieselman, a member of the Houston Lab. Greg Gieselman is also the head of the search committee for a news director for KPFT.
So I just wanted to add that.
And I just want to correct people that there's a big difference between Orthodox Judaism and Zionism. Racism does not necessarily exist in Orthodox Judaism, but the Zionist political movement
we need
to really be interreflective.
We
like
need
this.
A question, not a speech. Can
right,
you give us
the
your
man
question.
The facts are the facts. First of all, Fox 26 News. No.
Give us your question, please.
Okay. How do you defend Zionism? How do you defend Zionism and Judaism? I mean, it's like an answer. It's like okay. If you're a Jew, you're a self-hating Jew, but if you're a non-Jew, then you're anti-Semitic. How do you compare? So our viewers.
We're gonna move. We can't get a question. We're gonna
Zionism.
Move.
How do you compare that for listeners?
We're gonna move on to line one.
These people were very rude and discourteous to the listeners, and they were our...
The voice of Ms. Janice Blue.
...and they were our guests, and this is a listener-sponsored station, and they were cutting people off, and they were very disrespectful.
A KPFT volunteer programmer.
The reason I was there was because I was going to put a new show on for the, our premiere of a show. It was like 2 weeks away, and I was just picking up on people saying things like, they're cutting people off, they're really... Who are these people? And cut people off and not let them talk. And
oh, my name is Scott Parkin. First of all, I'd say I didn't go into the studio. I was standing in that hallway right there at the studio. I was kind of like standing in the doorway. And I had been listening to the Jewish Voices show, and I knew that it wasn't probably going to be real popular.
Sharon is the only democratically elected leader in the Middle East, the only civilians that are attacked, the only people that a massacre is waged against them are the Israelis. When Palestinians relentlessly kill Israelis, civilians, that's massacre, that's terrorism, that's deliberately killing civilians, and that only happens from the Palestinian to the Israelis.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take Steve on line five.
My name is Janice Blue. I'm a new programmer at KPFT. I co-host a program called Go Vegan Texas. I've been active listener and participant in KPFT for close to 30 years, except for the last 5 or 6 years. I've been a very strong supporter of the station. In the 70s, I was published a feminist newspaper called Houston Breakthrough. I've been a community activist and I'm currently very active in animal rights. I was at the station back in April. I believe it was Wednesday, April 17th. I was there with another person who was going to be helping us on our very first radio show, and so I was paying really strict attention to everything in the control room and the recording studio, and I happened to be there during a time when there was a show from 11 a.m. to 12 noon called Jewish Voices. There were four guests on the air, and so I was walking in and out of the control room during the time they were on the air, and when they got off the air at 12 o'clock, I was in the doorway between the control room and the studio where the guests were starting to take off their earphones and get ready to leave. And Bob Bazanko, a programmer, came in to the control room, and he handed the guy in the control room, I think his name was Mike, he handed him his script, and I was paying such close detail that I even noticed it was handwritten. We were kind of walking through the studio, or the back of the control room and recording studio, getting a kind of a tour of the studio, and so we were picking up on the fact that, you know, they were cutting people off, and they were, you know, that there was something going on that wasn't right. At first I thought it was going to be like a debate about the, you know, Mideast, and that they were having, I thought they were having Jewish and Arab people talking about the situation in the West Bank, and so I didn't realize it was just one viewpoint.
Jenin was a dangerous place because we have been fighting terrorism. We do not feel that having a cameraman running around would be beneficial for the cameraman or for us or for anybody else. Two, the Palestinians have been notorious for using anything that they could imagine. They have been using ambulances to transfer arms. They have been using people that have been civilians as terrorists. What would prevent them disguising themselves as journalists? So in that sense, I think that we were there after the terrorists, and now it's open and everybody can see what happened there.
And that they were also just not letting people finish, you know, or
patriotism, which is evident in Saudi Arabia.
We need a question. We're going to move on to line one.
A guy that I now know as Greg Gieselman, who is a lab member, he walked into the room, and Bob told him that he was upset about the show that they had just had, this Jewish Voices, because they were cutting people off that were calling in and were very rude.
We need a question. We're going to move on to
Jay Gaelic.
Did Bob talk to anybody when you were there?
While the Jewish Voices show was still on, he was talking to several different people, kind of chit-chat. He also had a confrontation at that point with Greg Gieselman concerning the show going over and the content and appropriateness of the show and his opinion. This is while the Jewish Voices show was still going on. The show started to go over, he then vocalized that the show was going over and you know, his show was supposed to be on next and so forth. At which time Brightwell said he didn't realize that Bob's show was going to be on next and that he'd wrap up the show and so forth.
How long did this exchange between Gieselman and Bazanko go on, do you remember?
A minute. It was a very short encounter, so it was just a couple lines back and forth. Essentially, Gieselman something to the effect of having different voices on or whatever, and Bob said no, the station was essentially supposed to be for the voiceless and that they can hear this on Fox from anywhere else. And Gieselman said something about, you know, community station, anyone should be able to be on, and Bob essentially told him to kiss my ass or something to that effect, and that's what kind of ended the conversation, was Bob made some kind of kiss my ass or something to that effect, more or less, which kind of ended the conversation.
Janice flew.
And Bob was coming in to do his show. Bob was arguing with Greg about, you know, why did you bring these people in? They're Sharon government apologists. They should be on CNN or Fox. You know, this isn't for KPFT. And then their words got a little more colorful, where I was a little uncomfortable, you know. And then the guests started going through, you know, started leaving the broadcast studio, so I kind of leaned into the door frame to let them go past, and I was in the doorway, and Bob and Greg were in front of me. The two of them were locked into their argument. Nobody else was involved, just the two of them. And I was feeling a little comfortable, like, oh gosh, you know, when you're in hearing range and you hear two people arguing. But I also felt like, gosh, you know, he did have some good points. Are these people supposed to be using our airtime? And I was, like, confused about that part. But I was, you know, just kind of standing there when the four people went right past me, and the two women, I could tell, you know, were a little uncomfortable. They kind of looked over towards Bob and Greg, who were arguing, but they walked out into the hallway, and there was never any exchange other than between Bob and Greg.
Jay Gaelic.
So the people from the Jewish Voices show came out, Bob and Varquez, his first guest, walked in. They never talked to each other at any point in time.
You think you would have heard it?
Yes, I believe it. I mean, I don't know how could I not have heard it if they had something, considering they were, I was where I was standing at the time, which is, you know, at the control boards, and they were, you know, walking in and out of the...
How far away is that?
A foot, 2 feet, 3 feet at the max, depending exactly where people were at that point in time. But
my name is Jeff Wittig. I stood in the hallway just outside the control booth, where I could see Jay Gallick was sitting at the control board. A show was just ending, and the guest hosts were leaving the studio area, walking out into the hallway.
Now, did you see that?
I saw them walk out, yes. Gentlemen, and then a woman with dark hair, and a shorter, middle-aged man. It was a crowd. I don't remember precisely how many. I remember those three figures. And then I did not see Bob actually go into the control room, but I saw him standing in there. I believe he was talking to Jay. I did not see any interaction or any words spoken or exchanged between Bob and anyone of those people who were exiting the room.
Scott Parkin.
And I saw, as soon as it ended, I saw they all came out like single file. The Jewish Voices people, because the studio was so crowded, they kind of had a single file out. Bob stood there. All of us just like stood there. No one really said anything. I think there was a kind of a tension in the air, kind of uncomfortableness, but no one ever really said anything. I noticed that Bob kind of looked away, and then as soon as they walked out, Bob and Varquez went into the studio or into the booth.
Welcome to KPFP. This is Bob Bezanko on Open Journal. That was The Clash singing Washington Bullets, which was an appropriate song because today Washington's bullets are helping to kill the women and children, doctors and ministers, clergy in Palestine. You're listening to KPFT, the voice of the dispossessed and the voiceless. The past hour you may have thought you were listening to Fox as we had an apologist for the terrorist state of Israel. We're reverting back to regular Pacifica programming right now. We're going to talk about the role Americans have had in the recent coup in Venezuela. We're going to have a representative from the Venezuelan consulate and talk to a local expert on the issue. Then after that, we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming march in Washington,
D.C. Those of you who have been around Pacifica for a while may have recognized Dr. Bezanko's statements as an infraction of the old dirty laundry code. Pretty minor, if you ask me, but, you know, a lot of us fought long and hard so there could once again be days like this at Pacifica. To borrow a phrase from Dennis Bernstein, Pacifica stations are scrappy little places, inside and out, on the air and off the air. I believe it was Garland Ganter who attempted to transform KPFT into a smooth-running donor circle wine and cheese party. Probably not the intention of Lou Hill, but minor dirty laundry infractions are usually an issue handled by management, which I believe they did handle. And I believe Mr. McClay had a conversation with Mr. Bezanko about dirty laundry immediately following his broadcast. But speaking of dirty laundry, check out the one that got away.
And one other thing I heard this morning as I was driving in is they said on this radio station that the Israelis were using the drivers of the ambulances as shields as they go into the territories. That is completely false and incorrect. So I just wanted to add
just
that.
Just like Bob Bezanko, Donna De La Paz referred to the previous show not as apologism, but as false, or I think she called Amy a liar, didn't she? We have heard Amy Goodman called a liar on Pacific Air before, but I believe that was Utrice Lead. It's certainly interesting, if not ironic, that by defaming Amy Goodman on the air, Miss La Paz would join the ranks of infamy established by Utrice Lead, who will always be remembered as probably the most persistently and vociferously anti-Semitic voice that Pacifica has ever suffered. Utrice Lead's game is what we referred to as race baiting. Speaking of race baiting, Ms. Donna De La Paz, immediately after her show, Jewish Voices, on KPFT, accused veteran KPFT programmer Bob Bezanko of issuing a racial slur. I believe she states specifically that Bob uttered "you Jew" to her in a pejorative fashion. This, of course, occurred in a room the size of a breakfast nook with some 10 or 15 people around, none of whom heard it, except for Ms. La Paz and the co-producer of Jewish Voices, Greg Gieselman, Houston Lab member. Well, so far, nothing terribly offensive, just a particularly tense and unsavory day at a scrappy Pacifica station. Occasionally to be expected, I suppose. Something we all need to get used to, perhaps.
I walked out, and I saw the people from the Jewish Voices show standing there with Greg Gieselman and Stan Merriman.
Eyewitness Scott Parkin.
And they were, like, talking, and I heard the woman who was of Jewish Voices, who I've been told was Donna LaPaz, saying, I think some of the staff here is anti-Semitic. About, there's like a debrief. I think I heard somebody refer to it. Well, let's do a debriefing of what happened.
After the debriefing, apparently someone brought this alleged racial slur incident to the attention of George Barnstone, a Houston representative to the IPNB. George Barnstone, without taking the time to check with staff or with any of the other witnesses that were present at the time of the alleged racial slur, decided to make a motion in public at the lab meeting to investigate Bob Bezanko for his mistreatment of guests at KPFT, racial slurs in on-air comments and so forth. Bob Bezanko was not present at the meeting to answer his accusers. This was based on hearsay evidence, and when I asked George Barnstone who told him about the racial slur and who asked him to bring forth this investigation, he said this.
I'm seeking testimony from all the people who are there.
So, I mean, when did you first hear about this, you know, this racial slur? I mean, who did you hear this from? I mean, why are you calling for this investigation?
Because, you know, if the allegations are correct, I mean, that's not, you know, that's the kind of stuff that shouldn't happen with Pacifica.
I firmly agree with that, anybody that's throwing racial slurs around Pacifica has got to be
done. But hold on,
I mean, but in order to launch an investigation, I mean, you have to have like a little bit of evidence or a little bit of impetus to begin that. I'm wondering where you got that.
And I don't recall who told me initially. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be evasive with you, Scooter. I just don't know.
You don't know who told you?
I don't know. I have a very poor memory. And I don't recall who told me initially. I'm asking an investigation. I'm asking people who are there. One, two. I've asked Mr. Bezanko to call me. He doesn't call me.
Why didn't you ask?
Man, I'm not even making the decision. I'm just collecting the information, man.
Well, who is making the decisions? I mean, why? Who asked you to do this?
Who asked me to do this? No one asked me to do anything.
Well, then, I mean, you just out of the thin air, you just decided that there must be.
I beg your pardon. No. That lab asked me to do this. The lab said, the lab wanted to have a search committee.
Okay, now, do you mean Deb Shafto?
I don't recall who did it. I'm sorry.
When I reported to Deb Shafto that George Barnstone told me that the lab asked him to do this investigation, she would have hit the roof, except for, luckily, we were outside. Many folks here, including myself, are too young to remember Joe McCarthy, but when you bring forth allegations publicly and launch an investigation in a public sanctioned forum from a position of authority, that is called a witch hunt, a political witch hunt, which is a McCarthyite tactic. Hence the nickname, which I dubbed Tailgunner George, which is a reference to Tailgunner Joe McCarthy. George Barnstone first joined the IPNB over protest of the Pacifica activist community when the board was packed by the hijackers before the settlement. Somehow George Barnstone returned to the IPNB when he was appointed by Susan Darrow, who was chair of the five-person Garland Ganter Sweetheart Lab. George Barnstone did not come to the IPNB through anything remotely democratic with the approval of the Pacifica activist community. He came on board with Marion Barry. I was curious as to why, in a so-called elected forum such as the lab, George Barnstone was able to pass a motion, being an appointed IPNB member and not part of the Houston lab, for any reason at all, much less launch an investigation based on hearsay evidence on a respected programmer at KPFT in public, therefore effectively smearing his reputation by insinuating anti-Semitism. That's called race baiting. So I asked Ted Weisgel, who is the parliamentarian of the Houston Lab and also the parliamentarian of the interim Pacifica National Board at Pacifica National Board meetings.
According to Robert's Rules of Order, if you are a ex officio non-voting member of the local advisory board by virtue of your membership on the national board, While you're allowed to attend meetings and you're allowed to speak, you're not allowed to vote or make motions. The motion that was made at the last lab meeting to investigate the comments made by Bob Bazanko relative to the...
No, you have to say alleged.
Actually, I heard him on the air say...
Oh, on the air comments. Okay, I'm sorry.
But the bottom line is the entire investigation, as initiated by George Barnstone, was a violation of Pacifica rules, which follows Robert's Rules of Order, which says that a non-voting member of the lab cannot either vote on matters or make motions.
Wasn't really the on-air comments. It was apparently a racial slur.
Well, I thought it was about all of the above.
I think you're right.
Regardless of what it was a violation of Pacifica rules for George to make any motion at all.
Apparently, the proper witch hunting rules have not been followed.
Bob said nothing to them. I was, 2 feet away. I was right in front of them, and the four guests left the room and I presume the building. And after he and Greg stopped their sparring, he went on the air, and
Janice
he walked
Blue.
Past me again on my left side and took right to the microphones, and I heard him say something like, like an apology to the audience. He said something like, you may have thought you were listening to CNN, but this is still KPFT. So he was on the air, and they all left, because after that, I walked out of the control room and walked into the big conference room, and people were discussing, the situation. But anyway, that, as far as the smear campaign against him saying these things, I'm very, very disturbed about that, because I think it's a great injustice to him. And since I was a direct witness and know that that did not happen, I really, feel that we need to come to his defense and really, truly rid the station of the people who are fabricating such lies, because anybody that attempts to ruin someone's character and reputation, it's unforgivable. And plus, they take the time away from what the important mission of Pacifica is, and we're in a new direction, and we need all of our talent and energy towards that. And I'm just so resentful that they, perpetrated this lie. And I really want to come to, the defense of anyone that's attacked. And in this case, Bob, I would, if it were in reverse, I would defend whoever was falsely accused. And I think this is just...
Are you and Bob old friends or anything?
No, I'm pretty new to the station. I don't have all the, people's last names yet. I hear him on the air a lot on Progressive Forum, but, outside of just a meeting at KPFT, I don't know him that well. I just, respect the contribution he's making to the station. I heard him, at the peace rally in Washington, D.C., and I was really proud that KPFT had somebody up there from our station. It made me feel good that, with Amy Goodman and Larry Bensky and all the national people, that we had someone from KPFT. So my knowing him is just from, my respect for what he's doing for the station. And I feel he has his heart in the right place. And I don't know if this was some personal thing between the two of them. But I don't think I've seen him since that day. We was surprised that, it was still not resolved. I gave a deposition to George Barnstone, emailed it to him on May 2nd.
Did he ever get in touch with you?
He never got back to me, and I thought it was resolved. In fact, the last letter in my, last paragraph in my letter after I gave my deposition, I just said, it's my hope this will be resolved in a fair and peaceful manner, because we need 100% of our talent, energy, and dedication for the betterment of Pacifica. So I know him personally. I've known him for years. I'm a close friend of his mom. So, I just had the utmost faith that George would handle this in a very fair manner, and that this would, really be, just resolved, because this was such a false accusation. And I told him so. I said, this is just wrong that this never happened. And, I would be willing to take a lie detector test. That's how strongly I feel. It's been dragging on for a long time. And, if I was the one that was being attacked, I would really, be very upset that no one was doing anything about this. That I think we need, you know, we need to resolve this and really punish the people by banishing them from the studio who lied, because that's what this was. This is just a horrible, horrible, you know, manufactured lie, and to discredit somebody that's been contributing so much to the station.
At times there are misunderstandings, and sometimes it's a matter of opinion. And sometimes it's clear that somebody is lying. Now that all of the statements and depositions are in, here's what it comes down to. Ms. Donna De La Paz and Greg Gieselman don't quite agree. Ms. La Paz has stated that Bob Bazanko called her "you Jew" in a pejorative manner, a racial slur. Greg Gieselman states that Bob Bazanko actually chased Donna De La Paz down the hall, calling her "you Jew" in a pejorative manner. This is in direct contradiction to the testimonies of Steve Brightwell, who's the engineer at KPFT, Mr. Vartkez, Venezuelan consulate, who was Bob Bazanko's guest, Janice Blue, who has been part of the KPFT family since its birth, Bob Bazanko himself, Jay Galig, who was engineering for Bob Bazanko, Scott Parkin, who was there to pick up his video camera, Jeff Wittick, who is an attorney, Stan Merriman, as well as the other guests of Jewish Voices, only report that Ms. De La Paz said that Bazanko called her "you Jew" in a pejorative manner. Hearsay, in other words. Most of the statements that contradict Mr. Gieselman and Ms. De La Paz's testimony not only states that they did not hear the racial slur, but that it was not possible that the racial slur could have happened without them hearing it. So let's discount the sheer numbers. Let's explore the credibility of the contradicting witnesses, Mr. Greg Gieselman and Ms. Donna De La Paz. Stan Merriman has repeated to me over and over again, why would Ms. Donna De La Paz lie? Well, one possible answer is that KPFT, and Bob Bazanko in particular, presents a point of view which is in direct contradiction to everything she stands for and says, and that any destructive lie that she repeated to cause chaos in the ranks would certainly be to her advantage. That is one possible answer to why Ms. Donna De La Paz would lie. Does Donna De La Paz lie is also a fair question to ask at this point. And I think we need to go beyond the detail that Ms. De La Paz has called Amy Goodman a liar on the air at KPFT and look a little further into what she has said. I don't know too much about Ms. Donna De La Paz except for what she said on Jewish Voices. So let's look at that.
Fox News is giving the most unbiased view of what's going on.
That's certainly where I get my balance. I fall over a lot, but
it wasn't a massacre.
Well, that's certainly true.
They're showing you that tens were killed.
Well, I'll go along with that.
Not
I think.
Hundreds were killed. So propaganda that's coming out from the Palestinians about what's actually happening there. So having peace. Israel wants us to have peace and wants to have a Palestinian state alongside an Israeli state.
Of course.
So it's the Arab territories that are pushing out the Palestinians.
That's exactly my thinking.
The Jews have had presence in Israel, in that land, for the past 3,300 years, 3,300 years.
Everybody knows that.
The only Arab dominion since the conquest in 635 CE lasted no more than 22 years.
A little before my time, I really
can't. So for over 3,300 years, Jerusalem has been the Jewish capital.
That's why the capital punishment.
And one other thing I heard this morning as I was driving in, they said on this radio station.
I'm interested in how Ms. La Paz managed to research that subject.
That the Israelis were using.
In her car, driving to KPFT.
The drivers of the ambulances as shields.
So that she was able to state that Ms. Goodman was lying on the air.
That is completely false and incorrect.
But I assume she has good connections and a very good cell phone.
So I just wanted to add that.
I believe if you Google Donna De La Paz, you will find that she rants against Jewish peace activists a lot, but I'm not sure how much truth in rant there is. But now let's try to decode the unfathomable Greg Gieselman, who runs around KPFT pretending to be some sort of seasoned foreign correspondent, whose articles are all top secret, apparently, and Janice Blue.
When I went into the conference room, there was Dwayne, Greg, and Ed. They were talking about, you know, they got mad because Bob got on the air and said something, and he shouldn't be criticizing in the air. And I said, Well, I said, but, you know, do those people have a right to come to our station and just take over our, you know, our program? And Greg said, they didn't do that. And I said, but, you know, I said, this is a very, very, very touchy subject. I said, I've just been listening to Amy Goodman and Dennis Bernstein on eyewitness accounts. And he goes, you can't take everything you hear. Those programs are biased. And I said, I'm talking about eyewitness reports from Kathy Kelly and the peace workers, from ambulance drivers who said that they haven't been able to get, you know, people to the hospital. I'm talking about those kind of reports. So then Greg goes on about how, you know, you can't trust what Dennis Bernstein says because that he's sloppy with his facts and he doesn't check his facts, and so you can't take what he says because, you know, Greg says that he called him, and Dennis said, well, I don't have time to research all my stories. I have a show to get out. And I just didn't believe that Dennis would have said that to some stupid idiot that called, you know, to somebody.
Greg certainly utilizes his right to free speech profusely and pedantically when it comes to Dennis Bernstein. And I don't want Greg Gieselman to accuse me of a sloppy reporting and not checking all my facts. So I called Dennis Bernstein myself to check and see if Greg Gieselman's quotes from Dennis were indeed accurate.
Fresh points.
Dennis, this is Scooter.
Hi, Scooter.
The reason I'm calling is that Greg Gieselman here in Houston, a lab member, happens to be chair of the search committee for news director, and he doesn't seem to be searching very hard, but he does seem to be insinuating himself into that job. And based on that, and of course we don't want anybody in that job who's sloppy on the facts, and since Mr. Gieselman quotes you so freely, I thought I would check and see if these quotes he's attributed to you are indeed true.
Is he the head of the search committee?
Yes, it's very true.
Okay, so how did that happen?
I can't really take responsibility for that one.
All right, so do you want to read me the quote?
That works for me.
Are we taping now? Or?
Yes, we are. Okay. Quote number one, Dennis Bernstein, 7th of March, 2002. Quote, Greg, comma, the truth is what I say it is. Unquote.
Say that again? I'm sorry.
Quote, Greg, the truth is what I say it is. Unquote.
Yeah, that's a lot of crap.
Quote number two, Dennis Bernstein, 7th of March, 2002. Quote, don't talk to me about dead children. What about the Jewish settlements? The Israelis have gotten what they deserved. Unquote.
Never.
Quote number three, Dennis Bernstein, March 7th, 2002. Quote, if you want balance, go watch CNN or read the New York Times. Everyone knows the newspaper and mainstream media are controlled by the Jews. Unquote.
Total lie.
Thanks for your time, Dennis. We appreciate you and your show.
All right. Well, let's see if we can keep it going.
I think we're in good shape.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right. Bye.
Like Amy and Dennis are progressive American Jews, and that shouldn't our station be taking the, you know, the one that's under attack? You know, why are we letting the Israeli consulate people come in here? Or it would have been like if we had let Indonesian voices come on
right.
during East Timor. You know, that's how I feel. You know, that it takes so much courage for people to speak out, you know, and like the soldiers in Israel that are, you know, refusing to fight. And
yeah,
these
refusing.
People are the refusing. So these people, to me, are the real heroes. And also, you know, the other day, jumping around here, when the Arab Voices had their program on the air, the Israeli consulate called, and, you know, he stopped for 15 minutes, and they did not interrupt him. And, you know, they never said, your time is up, what's your question? They were very, very respectful and never cut him off and let him talk, and yet they cut our listeners off, and that's
right.
really, really bothersome.
We've got a question. Ask your question. Give us your question. We need to get your question. We're
going to
move on to line one.
I better go because
me too.
But we're not hanging Bob out to dry. You know, Dwayne isn't doing much, but the thing is that he's management, and this is an attack from this governance structure. And there's not, in my opinion, it's not, you know, I mean, he could say sorry or whatever, but that doesn't matter. I mean, the fact of the matter is that Greg's on the lab.
Well, I hope they get rid of him. How can we get rid of Greg?
Well, you're doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good because I think he blanked, he lied. I mean, I'm very upset with him for doing this to our station. I mean, you know, to Bob, but also to Pacifica. out of it I am, you know, is that I just thought George was on our side, that I didn't realize George came in.
I'm down, and I will drag you along and around until you burst into song and unwind and leave your new life behind for a while. I'm out, and I will stay here alone without someone controlled by the phone and TV, because what it's doing to me is fine.
This past weekend, George Barnstone did turn in the results of his investigation of Bob Zanko.
Taking testimony from all the people who were there.
And this will show you how out of it I am, you know, is that I just thought George was on our side, that I didn't realize George came in.
Did George Barnstone contact you?
No, I haven't been contacted by anyone minus Hep Ingham to give him a written statement, which I've done.
I'm acting in investigation, I'm acting people who were there.
Like, George came to my house, and I remember he was rude to his mom, and he's my husband, going, "You don't talk to our friend that way." I mean, so I go back a long way, you know. So anyway, I mean that's like when George was 5 years
old. Taking testimony from all the living people who were there.
I know, but what's the difference between this and McCarthy?
I'm seeking testimony from all the people who were there.
So did Joseph McCarthy.
For Jeff Wittig. Did George Barnstone contact you?
No.
If they did occur, well, how do you find out? We do an investigation. How do you do an investigation? We ask people to tell you what happened. And that's all I'm doing.
No, I've never heard from him. I've never been introduced to him, never heard from him. Don't know.
Thank you.
Respect. And I'm just collecting information. And I'm not making a decision. It's not my role.
And the infamous Ms. Rhonda Gardner reporting on her conversation with George Barnstone at this week's governance committee meeting.
He gave me the opportunity to say something to Mr. Barnstone, and that I thought that it would work wonders for everyone if he could consider at the next meeting, you know, say that he was sorry and that it was inappropriate and that he was out of order.
I say get some documentation. Let's see what there is to it. And that's all I'm doing.
I'm really concerned about the fact that he told me that there's only one witness, and that witness is Greg.
Total lie.
Did George Barnstone contact you?
No, sir.
We asked people to tell you what happened. And that's all I'm doing.
And he was very thorough. He interviewed the people at the Jewish consulate, whom I believe I stated earlier supported the claim that Donna La Paz told them that Bob Zanko issued a racial slur, although they didn't hear it.
And that's all that's happening, man. That's it. Nothing more.
Well, and Barnstone has not tried to reach you or anything.
To my knowledge, I've never heard anything, had no messages or emails or anything from George Barnstone. Never talked to him in my life.
And for balance, he interviewed Greg Gieselman and Stan Merriman, the producers of Jewish Voices.
So I felt like, you know, I should say something to him since I was face-to-face with him. And
man, I'm not even making the decision. I'm just collecting the information.
Requesting that, you know, he resign or call the investigation off.
The only thing we want to negotiate are the terms of your resignation. Do you remember who said that?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
That was Janice Bryan. Do you know who she is?
I don't even know. I mean, I know Janice, but okay. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about, this is inappropriate, George. The last time,
I'm sorry,
the last time that we pressured you, you were not involved in a legitimate Pacifica community, because there was no legitimate Pacifica community. It was just a jukebox. Now that you've immersed yourself in this community and you're behaving like Joe McCarthy, don't.
And do you know if Barnstone was trying to get hold of you? Any emails? Anything left on your answering machine? Any mysterious calls in the middle of the night? Anything?
Nothing like that.
Don't you think that this is basically going to backfire on your reputation and everything that you're trying to do for yourself big time?
No. I disagree with that characterization. I don't think it's very nice of you. You know, appropriate to characterize what I'm doing as McCarthy.
Did George Barnstone contact you?
No, sir.
And since Janice Blue, lovely lady that we have been listening to. The eyewitness, I believe, was standing between Bob Bazanko and Ms. DePaz when the alleged slur was supposed to have happened, took it upon herself to send an email to George Barnstone. You know, he threw that in, too. So George Barnstone has certainly done his job on this investigation. We're just trying to figure out exactly what his job is. And I would like to throw in one personal comment from someone who has had to deal with the legal system myself. That if George Barnstone was my lawyer, I would certainly hope that he plays golf with the judge.
Talked for a long time, and at the end, I just asked him, I said, are you telling me that you have no regrets about what you've done? And he said, no. He has no regrets.